Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis today, a sobering day for the last two martinis. They, of course, will relate to the latest terrorist attack, this one in Nice, France, 84 dead at the last count. Those will be the bad and crazy martinis for different reasons. We start with the good martini, and Donald Trump is in the good martini today. He just tweeted out just a few minutes before we started recording here, Jim, "I am pleased to announce that I have chosen Governor Mike Pence as my vice presidential running mate. News conference tomorrow at 11 a.m. This makes it a little bit odd that once the reports came out on Thursday, the Trump campaign tried to furiously beat back the story, perhaps trying to save some sort of surprise element for the actual announcement. But then with the terrorist attack, it got pushed back to Saturday, and Trump is now letting it be known that Mike Pence, the Republican governor of Indiana, former congressman from Indiana, is going to be the choice for vice president. And Jim, given what we've seen from Donald Trump over the past year and change, he could have done a whole lot worse. There's a lot to really like about Mike Pence from a conservative perspective. He was a very strong conservative member in Congress, both socially and fiscally and national security-wise. I know some are concerned about his positions on immigration, but he is not the top of the ticket there. So we'll see exactly what differences get expressed in public. This is an effort to win over the base. Are you won over?
Never Trump for life. I can't get that tattoo removed, Greg. But I got to tell you, like, I'm looking at that laser there. In a year in which we've seen, oh, my God, Trump or Hillary. Oh, you know, and then think, oh, maybe the libertarians will save us. And Gary Johnson's like, yep, I want open borders. You know, and I think Obama really knew what he was doing with that amnesty. Blah! You know, one bad choice after another. After this, I don't know about you, Greg. Right now, Mike Pence is looking like Winston Churchill. Okay. The bar has been set low that if you give me a pretty darn consistently conservative guy, he ran a free market think tank, hosted a radio talk show for 5 years. And if there's anything we've learned, Greg, is that radio show hosts should not be not be running the country. 12 years in the House of Representatives, 4 years as governor, a pretty darn conservative record throughout that. He's not over the top and the boisterous, in-your-face combativeness. He's kind of a Midwestern straight talk kind of guy. I think it's safe to say he's a passionate pro-life guy. Trump will give out the kind of the quasi defense of Planned Parenthood, and Pence is the guy who's leading the charge to defund them.
Right.
I think that's a really key important distance or issue here is that, you know, Trump was always, he clearly envisioned something of an imperial presidency. Remember, you know, when I give the military an order, they're going to obey it. You know, this idea, he sees everything Obama does through executive orders and can't wait to start himself. Mike Pence is an impassioned Federalist. Now, sometimes governors go to Washington and get a taste of that presidential power, and they don't mind it so much. By standards of what we have, this is a really reliable, trustworthy conservative pick, even if you're, you know, not terribly pleased with the way he handled the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. At one point, he wanted to create a state-run news agency. It was a bad idea. He's had some stumbles as governor, no two ways about it. But in a year where we've been saying, look, Hillary is so weak that a generic Republican would you know, beat her badly. Some might argue Mike Pence is next to Tim Pawlenty, as close as you're going to get to a generic Republican. I don't know if we needed another Newt Gingrich who could be shocking and surprising and combative. I don't know if we needed Chris Christie shouting at people. I think there's something to be said in a year where, you know, it feels like the country's coming apart at the seams. You see people taking shots at cops in all kinds of different states. I just want everything to calm down. And Mike Pence feels like this calming, reliable force. Now, if it comes down to, say, a Mike Pence, Tim Kaine vice presidential debate, Greg, it's going to be a national nap. I don't think either one of them would have larger than life personalities. But, you know, as far as the options being mentioned, other than maybe Mike Flynn, the lieutenant general who could have turned this into a referendum on terrorism, and probably, you know, in light of what happened in France, that wouldn't be such a bad idea. Pence was amongst one of the better options. And it's fascinating to watch the Ann Coulter is just apoplectic. She thinks this is a terrible choice. Mickey Kouse is, you know, everybody who is loving Trump for the populism and the nationalism and the immigration stuff is really deeply disappointed. And so I'm just giggling today. Well done, Mr. Trump. That's probably a bad sign for you that I think you're doing such a good job. But maybe there will be a unified Republican Party. Maybe this is what's going to start putting stuff on the mend. We'll see how it shakes out. It'd be interesting to see if Pence comes out and says in his acceptance speech in Cleveland and says, let me tell you what I like about the TPP trade deal. Or back when I was on the Hill, here was the modified path to citizenship that I thought was a pretty good idea. This is the most the most unlikely pairing, I think, since Paula Abdul started dating the animated cat. And you know, I'm fascinated by this. This is a genuinely surprising turn of events, and we'll see how it plays out in the weeks to come.
I'm pretty sure that's the first ever MC Scat Cat reference on the Three Martini Lunch, but it's overdue.
We needed one, I think. It was, you know, it speaks to the moment.
A couple different points here. First of all, as you may recall from the Indiana primary, Mike Pence actually endorsed Ted Cruz. Now, it was the most tepid endorsement I've ever seen in my life. But nonetheless, Donald Trump actually picked for his running mate someone who voted for someone else in the primary, which, given his response to people who didn't choose him in the primary most of those months, is a pretty good sign, because usually they were basically cast aside as worthless losers.
You could even say this is the big move of Trump. Bigly.
All right, on to the bad martini now, and we referenced it at the top. Horrific terrorist attack in Nice, France on the Mediterranean. Bastille Day fireworks had just concluded, and the streets and the pedestrian walkways were absolutely crowded with people. And then this guy, who has since been identified as Mohamed Bouhel, is responsible for running down scores of people. Last count, as we said, 84 dead. But the French president, Francois Hollande, went on TV this morning and saying there's about 50 others who are just right there on the line between life and death. So unfortunately, that count could get higher. Jim, we see the typical knee-jerk political reactions here in the U.S., a very tepid response from our president. We see another tactic that the terrorists are using to exact their terrorist agenda on people and taking innocent lives. There was no automatic weapons. There's no bombings here. It was a truck running down people on a pedestrian boulevard. And then you've got this guy, Anthony Dennis, who writes for the Sydney Morning Herald, who's basically saying this is the new normal. He's encouraging people to still travel the world, but be ready for the fact that there is a small chance that this could happen where you are, because this seems to be happening more and more often, and it's not that uncommon anymore, even though the odds of actually being hit by this are still obviously very low.
It was just a sick feeling this morning. You knew it was bad last night. This morning, the death toll, you know, there was a point where yesterday where it was, oh, we think 30 were killed. And then all of a sudden, within a couple of minutes, it went to 60.
Right.
And it's like in the blink of an eye, 30 more lives snuffed out. And as you get more details, we now know two Americans, a father and son, are amongst the dead. The probably at least, I believe, 10 children are amongst the dead. You know, American and the world should be getting sick of this. This feels like we get really upset for a couple of days, and then we forget. We forget about Orlando. We forget about Lahore. We forget about Brussels. We forget about Istanbul, Jakarta, Paris, San Bernardino, Ankara. You can just go down the list, and we're... It just keeps happening. And our president, he keeps thinking, oh, no, we're doing a pretty good job. Hillary Clinton said this morning she thinks that we're doing a pretty good job. The French authorities think they're doing a pretty – hey, guess what, guys? You're not doing a good job. Stop telling yourself you've got this under control. Stop telling yourself that this is fine. Stop telling us that this is fine. Start being honest about this, seeing it for what's actually happening. It just feels like insult to injury comes in the media coverage.
No, that's clearly the case as we transition to the crazy martini now. And different people have pointed this out. I saw Michelle Malkin commenting on it. Some of the headlines we're going to use here come from The Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro. We just identified the person who's responsible for this. And yes, his name came out several hours after the actual terrorist attack. But the way that the media phrased this in several different institutions just makes you want to bang your head against the desk. The New York Times, a couple different headlines. Their actual print headline, truck attack on French crowd, scores die. New York Times, with their tweet of a different story online, a truck's path of destruction in Nice, France. MSNBC, reacting to France truck attack, Newt Gingrich says test all Muslim U.S. citizens to reveal their beliefs. That's a topic for another day. Tune into MSNBC for continued live coverage of the deadly truck crash. CNN, truck rams crowd, 84 dead in Nice. New York Daily News, 80 slain, terror truck plows into French crowd. And Jim, I saw one tweet saying that's the equivalent of at Pearl Harbor, planes attack Pearl Harbor, scores die. The effort, the ridiculous effort to distract us from who's responsible for this just never ends.
Yeah. Last night I was out with a bunch of other friends and conservative bloggers, and there were a lot of dark jokes about we need a 7-day waiting period before purchasing a truck, or we can't allow people to own these high capacity trucks. We need to end the truck show loophole, you know, applying everything they say about guns after a terror attack to this terror attack in which the primary weapon was a truck, although apparently the driver was armed. The other thing which I remember seeing last night is that apparently some MSNBC commentator was talking about the number of population, the number of Muslims and Algerians in southern France. And somebody, I don't know, one of the Vox commentators was like, whoa, how can you say that? How can you possibly, you know, we have no idea who's responsible. Well, gee, there was one terror attack in Denmark that was by some crazy right wing native Denmarkian, not a Muslim, that I, amongst others, first heard about that and thought, oh, my goodness, this sounds like Islamist terror. But otherwise, when you hear a terrible attack on a national day targeting lots of people in a public place, there's a really good chance it's going to be Islamist. It might be Al-Qaeda related. It might be ISIS related. But ultimately, I mean, for the eyes of the victims, and I think for most of us, it's a distinction without a difference. I don't care which side of the theological divide they're on. They all express their faith in the same way of killing other people. Just a galling turn of events. Deeply frustrating that if you say something that someone, you know, if you come to the conclusion that logic and previous experience would bring you to, people jump then and down your throat, and they're more upset at you almost than what's happened here. And it's a deeply frustrating look. You know, Donald Trump has a lot of lousy state polls out today. He had a good poll in the CBS News, New York Times poll out yesterday, tied with Hillary. This is what's driving him. This is this sense that because of political correctness, we can't talk about what's actually happening, and we have to avert our eyes because if, you know, the public knows about it, oh, heaven forbid, there might be negative anti-Muslim attitudes. Well, you know what? Denying it is not getting rid of anti-Muslim attitudes. Anti-Muslim attitudes are being driven by the fact that there are Islamists who keep killing lots of people, and these attacks are getting bigger, and they're coming more regularly. So I suppose I should be surprised if people who believe that the most effective response to this is willful denial get really upset that the rest of us won't join them in that.
Even the reports since they've identified him, almost none of them identify him as Muslim, which you could probably tell from his name. He's Tunisian, Jim. He's just Tunisian.
Maybe he's a Mennonite, Greg. Or a Jehovah's Witness, you know. Or we'll never really know exactly how he theologically came down.
On that horrific note, Jim, it was good to be back with you for 2 days. Now for the next 2 weeks, you'll be in Cleveland and Philadelphia, respectively, covering the two political conventions. We certainly pray that those are incident-free on the outside in terms of the protests and any potential security issues. So be well, be rested, and we'll see you back. Hopefully your sanity is still with you in a couple weeks.
Hoping the same. Thank you to have you back. Sorry to be away. It only happens once every 4 years. And, you know, my guess is there'll be a couple of fun adventures there, and then we'll come back, and the same consistent sense of disbelief will occur in the Three Martini Lunch about 2 weeks from now.
Sounds good. He's Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and tune in again on Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch.